This morning's responsive read came from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 1 to 15. And if you've been following us, may we invite you also to pick up your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 31. The first 9 verses seems to be a exchange between a loving mother and hopefully a listening son. We find that in the opening line, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Now, sometimes when we look at the word prophecy, most people automatically think of foretelling the future. And in one sense, that's true. But there are other times in the Bible, the word to prophesy or to deliver God's word is also applied to simply teaching scripture or expounding scripture as it is read and then explained within its context. So I don't think Lemuel's mother here is making a prediction. I think what she's doing here is she's preaching to her son. She's giving her son motherly wisdom that she has apparently gleaned over her years. And now she wants to bestow this to her boy. Now, my inference, this is me, when we read the first 9 verses, I get the sense that Lemuel, and also it says in verse 1, he's a king. So this is what? The king's mother giving a little bit of advice to one who sits on a throne and has to govern and to oversee not only a people, but apparently a nation. And so this mother appeals to his heart with some sound advice. And I would say that to us Western thinking minds, some of this advice may sound a little bit strange. But again, the Bible, the Old Testament here, was written in a Eastern worldview. And sometimes our Western values and our Western understandings do at times clash with other cultures because we don't understand. So let's see if we can make a little bit of sense out of this. Now, he's a king, all right? And so this mother here is basically looking at the fact, how does she want her boy, the king, to conduct himself? Is he going to be a king that's going to be spotted with blemishes and scandal? Or is he going to be a good king, a son that a mother can be proud? Verse 3, for instance, give not thy strength unto women. Well, we know that people who are in positions of leadership sometimes use their power to exploit women. We know down through history, not only do kings and presidents and prime ministers and dictators, they may have a wife, but they also have mistresses and liaisons on the side. Well, this mother is telling her boy, don't give the best years of your life. Don't give all of your stamina and strength to women, plural. Know thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. And beloved, some of us who've been old enough, we've seen all the scandals. Everything from pastors taking secretaries to a motel room, to presidents doing things in the Oval Office that should have been done elsewhere, of all places, to desecrate the Oval Office with inappropriate behavior. We know that many men and some women have had their careers destroyed because they were with somebody else that they should not have been. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. So it would seem here that she's really banging the drum for abstinence when it comes to strong drink. But see, if you stop at verses 4, you may draw that conclusion, but you got to continue. lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. What I think his mother here is really beating her drum is on the abuse and the excessive use of alcohol, whereby a leader can become drunk. And when they're drunk, what happens? Well, they're not going to be thinking with a full deck up in their heads. And what's going to happen? They're going to pervert judgment. They're going to pervert judgment. And they're also going to, what? Forget the law of God. And do or say something or act in such a manner that they would not have done if they were sober-minded. So his mother is not saying, don't drink, because we find in the Old Testament as well as the New, the encouragement to drink wine and strong drink, but the prohibition was, don't get plastered, don't get drunk, don't become an alcoholic and then blame somebody else for that crime or that sin. Notice this, give strong drink unto him that's ready to die. What harm is there in giving somebody a couple of sips of wine knowing that they're about to give their last breath? What crime is that? Well, none. And wine unto those that be of a heavy heart. There are verses in the Old Testament that talks that wine makes the heart glad, makes it merry. Again, not giving a open license to get drunk. But when you read the book of Nehemiah, for instance, when they read the law in the audience of the people in Nehemiah 8 and 9, Nehemiah sent the people back to be festive, to rejoice, to exchange presents, to eat meat, and to drink wine. And he said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Well, that was in the context, beloved, of going home and having meat and drink. Okay? Verse 7. Let him drink and forget not his poverty and remember his misery no more. So, alcohol or wine, okay, can be a liquid medicine for a soul that is weary, downcast. That's what the scripture here is saying. Again, we're not advocating drunkenness, so I want that clearly understood. But this is what this mother's advice is to a king. Now, I forgot to mention in verse 5, she doesn't want her son to get liberated because it will prevent him from doing justice and judgment for any of the afflicted. How is he able to rule in matters of controversy or in matters of a judicial nature where people come to him with two people, they have a grievance? Well, how is the king going to arbitrate this particular grievance? Like Solomon with the two women and one dead baby and one baby that was alive. Do you think Solomon could have been able to make that proper judgment if he was inebriated that particular day? No, he was sober-minded. And he gave his decree. The baby was spared, but the lie and the deception of the other mother was then exposed. And so again, whether you're a president, whether you're, to me, I think in any position of leadership, whether it's the home, whether it's the school, whether it's the church, whether it's in government, wherever. If we are incapacitated because we are drunk, we're going to be unable to function properly and be of benefit to other men and women. Let him drink and forget his poverty, verse 7. That might be one reason why he has a heavy heart, verse 6. And remember his misery no more. Maybe there's something, some cataclysmic event in his life. Well, pouring a little glass of wine to soothe and to somehow ease the pain and the misery or the loss. There's no harm in that. We shouldn't crucify that. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. The king is to be the advocate of his people. A father is to be the advocate for his home. And if there's no father, well, then the mother becomes the advocate for her home. The pastor is the advocate for his congregation. He is called upon to watch and to watch over their souls, because he's going to have to give an account. And then for next week, it says here in verse 9, open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. Again, look at verse 9 and go back to the tail end of verse 5. This mother, Lemuel's mother, is basically concerned on how her son, this king, is going to treat and govern his people. And he can't do it properly if, for instance, in verse 3, he has one mistress here and another mistress over here, and he's too loose with the bottle of wine or strong drink. That's what I believe that she's aiming at. Well, next week we'll pick up with verses 10. We look at this beautiful picture of a virtuous woman. Now, I do want to give you this preface about the virtuous woman. When you read this, some people jokingly have made the comment that I've heard over the years. When you read everything about this one woman, when does she sleep? It says nothing about her taking a break, getting a vacation, or even going to bed at night herself. Matter of fact, we just read that she gets up even before the crack of dawn and makes sure that there's breakfast on the table for her family members. So when does this poor girl sleep? Well, beloved, that's not the point of Proverbs 31, verses 10 to the end, about the virtuous woman. What Proverbs 31 about the virtuous woman is showing you is the qualities and the characteristics of this beautiful woman. Her beauty goes beyond her face, beyond her curves to her body. Her beauty is the inner beauty of her character and her sacrificial life for others. I'm pretty confident that this woman did have time to go to bed. But the point of the matter, it's accentuating her good deeds. Okay? You got this exaggeration here, a good exaggeration of this woman's life in public and in private. Well, once again, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.